Open your Bibles with me tonight to John chapter 14, Gospel of John. While you're turning, I have a prayer list that I've lit up pastors, preachers that I pray for on Sunday mornings. I've been doing this for a long time. I think the third one listed down is Jimmy Clark. And I just felt led to call this brother. Boy, has there been some changes. His wife has passed away. He is a sickly man. He has a touch of dementia. He no longer has the girls home. And is just having, I can tell, his voice has even changed somewhat. But, and he asked me how things are going, and I just touched on my wife, and he said, "What's her first name, Brother Williams?" And I told him, and this morning when I came in or when I turned my phone on, he knew she was having a procedure because I told him, he said, "I'm praying for your wife today." That was such a blessing. Such a blessing. But that brother certainly needs our prayers. All right, we're in stewardship month. Stewardship month. I'm sitting there as Jim was making the announcements. I was thinking about something else. I wouldn't listen. So. But no. But how to understand, to better understand. I'm afraid that there's so many Christians that do not have a real concept of what it is to be a steward of the mercy, the blessings, and all the responsibilities that God has given to me and you as his child. Am I praying that God will help me to be a good steward, as the Bible points out to us? Am I doing what he had had me to do? Now, this is a very short verse here, but it is a tremendous verse. You're familiar with it here in John chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me," thank you, sir, "keep my commandments." How can you love God and not keep his commandments? See, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's telling us this. And we've defined the word steward so many times, a superintendent of another's household, watching over that house, such as Eliezer over the house of Abraham, who we read about in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2. But being a good steward, you know, as we grow up and we become adults and we have families and our jobs and all of that, we have a lot of responsibilities. Not oblivious to that at all. For the most part, I guess, served my term in doing that. Don't regret a minute of it. I wish I could go back and correct some mistakes, but then I'd make more as I went on and went forward. But God has been so good, and in spite of you go through some valleys, and then there's some mountaintops, but the bottom line is there's nothing better, there's nothing like serving God. Being the best steward that you can be by the grace of God. And that's what we need, everybody doing their part. Brother Shelton's been preaching. Believers are stewards of God's gifts and his graces. We are. 1 Peter 4:10, "As every man hath received the gift," as every man has received the gift. Of course, generically, it means everybody. Everybody. "Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Manifold grace of God. Does it ever just come on you while you're working or driving to work or whatever? Just a thought comes to you how wonderful it is to be a Christian. And thanking God that you're not what you used to be. And you're glad now that you're walking with the Lord, and you're still at the place in life where God can use you to be the light that he wants me and you to be. And I heard all about it, not the right phraseology, but I just heard as I was getting ready to come to church about this fiasco in Washington today. Folks, there's someone in charge. There's someone in charge, but I'm going to tell you this. Don't look for things to get better. And I'm not trying to be negative or cause you even more heartache. But the Word of God tells us about this. And what's about to happen just here in a few days, America will never be the same. Listen to me. Now, of course, I'm not probably not going to be here that much longer. I don't know when that is. That's God's business. But when you leave God out and you don't follow the precepts, and we don't do what God's Word says, men of God, so to speak, across America, compromising the Word of God, not telling people the truth of what God says, that carries over and has a lot of far-reaching ramifications. And America is where it is because it's ignored God, left God out. For the most part, there's a few still left. Thank God for them. But the question comes to us, back to our key thought here. Why didn't God provide the church for which Christ died with the resources needed to form its task and what God wanted it to do? I believe there's a threefold answer to this. And we'll probably get past this a little bit, but I want to share those with you. God did not provide the resources needed, but gave that responsibility to you and me. Because, number one, God knew man could not live by bread alone. Now, that may sound like a simple statement, and it is. It is. But that he must also have faith. Faith. Lots said in the Bible about faith, either directly or indirectly. And God uses individuals from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation to illustrate that to you and me, to help you and me that our faith will grow. Is your faith stronger today than it was last month, this time? Last year, this time? 5 years ago? Are you making progress? Is your faith real strong? Are you able to stand when the storms come? Just do what God would have you to do. Just keep on going for God's glory. It'll take the grace of God and your strength, or your faith, that will give you strength in these days in which we are living. God in his wisdom knew that faith without works is dead, as James says. Think about that now. Faith without works is dead. Dead. It's the faith that you and I have that we do what we do for God, looking to him for his strength and guidance. Oh boy, we need that. Now, for instance, this is stewardship month. This is where we are. It's what we're doing. It's where we're going. And hopefully we as a group, as a church, and even as individuals, we're going to be strong. We don't just pick out a month and we're just doing this for something to do. No, no, no. You'll never get too old in the Lord that you don't need to be preached to, and you don't need to stop practicing what you've been doing and teaching your children to do. You keep on going until you draw your last breath. Health being as it should be. And so that we can. So that we can do that. You see, giving, for instance. Let's just use it. Why would you use giving? I think I've been doing this long enough to know how giving increases our faith. I'm going to tell you a story on me. I still don't. Not by the envelope. Every Sunday morning, I sit, I prepare my offerings on Sunday mornings in my office. I break it down, put it in appropriate envelopes. I would call it the main one. It's my tithes and my missions giving. I prepared them, put them in the envelopes. Of course, give them when time to give. Something happened to the main one. I can't find it. I don't know where it is. Now, they tell me when you get to be a senior citizen, funny things happen. What are you laughing for? What are you smiling for? I still haven't found it. I don't know where it is. I've looked in. I about wore that suit coat pocket out that I wore Sunday, reaching in there to see if I missed it. See if it's in there. It's not in there. But I'm not going to worry about it. It'll show up forever. But anyway, I did that. But I thought about it because of the joy that I have found down through these years, the joy that is mine, and it's yours as well, because of being faithful in our giving. Faithful in our giving. Giving increases our faith. It does. It increases our faith. So we better be faithful in that and trusting God for doing what He's commanded us to do, and do it not grudgingly, as Paul says, but with us, you know, just being faithful. And it helps you and me to grow. Number two, God also knew that man must love in order to exist. Now, don't jump to any conclusions. Let me explain what I'm talking about here. Our love for God. Love that cannot be expressed soon dies. It does. Do you believe that you love God as much today as you did a year ago? Is it possible that over a period of time your love has waned and you're not in love with God as much as you used to be? Now, a good symbol of that, or a symptom of that, is not in your Bible like you used to be. You're not praying like you used to. That will affect your pocketbook. That will affect your giving. All of a sudden, it doesn't mean as much. But you know, when we give faithfully and regularly, a tithe and an offering, whatever that offering is between you and God Almighty, but there's got to be an offering. The tithe already belongs to God. You're not giving Him anything. It's His. Belongs to Him. I would be scared to spend that which belongs to God. I don't need anything. I'm not that desperate that I need to take God's money and get something that I want. Just trying to be so simple about this. When God said put Him first, He meant it. He meant that. That's part of being a good steward. Good steward of the blessings of God and of that which the Lord has given to us. And so we must love in order to exist. Giving is the only way that love can really be expressed. Did you hear me? Giving is the only way that love can really be expressed. It is. Just think about it. Think it through. Look in the Word of God. Giving. You think about that widow lady? She gave everything she had. Illustrated there in the Word of God so clearly. It wasn't like she had millions and just give God's man what he wanted. You know, she put God first, not necessarily the man of God, even though God used that illustration, but really what she was doing was putting God first. And God took care of her. You just imagine that woman's mind, that lady, that widow, when every time she went to that barrel, that cruise of oil, there was enough there to fix a meal. Every time she went. She's probably thought a couple of times, well, now there won't be any left because it's kind of gotten low here. But there was always, it never did say, and you don't read in the Bible where the barrel ran over, the crews ran over the meal, and of course you always find some sticks to build a fire. Never did run out. What's the illustration? What is it there that we need to see as a good steward is that God will provide. God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We better believe that. Better believe that. For words that are not supported by action, let me repeat, words that are not supported by action are empty, they're nothing. You know, it's like the old saying we've heard all these years, you know, it's one thing to talk a good talk, but something else to walk a good walk. We need to do that. And by the way, it makes good sleep at nights too. I've heard testimony down through the years about people that they gave, and they gave something regularly. When they were offering pants, they gave. I'm thinking about one in particular right now, but one day it dawned on this individual that he had been robbing God. Because it wasn't a tithe he was giving to pacify his conscience, but he wasn't tithing. He wasn't. And don't give me this thing about, well, you know, I don't really know how much I made last year. Well, God help you to get you a calculator, do whatever you got to do. You know how much you made. You know where it is. You know how much you got. And a tenth of that belongs to God, whether you give it to him or not. But God has a very unique way of getting that which belongs to him. He does. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. What I'm talking about is being a good steward. You'd be better off to do without something that you want and keep God first than to rob God and get what you want. It won't work. It's his. It belongs to him. Thirdly, God also knew that man could never grow up in the image of Christ unless he also was given the opportunity to give of himself and his substance. It belongs to God. Belongs to the Lord. In other words, because God is love, man can never become godlike or Christlike unless he learns to love, and cannot learn to love until he learns to give. After all, what did God give me and you? That which we'll never be able to repay. Never. God so loved the world. Yeah, preacher, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that, but think about it seriously when you read it or you hear it quoted. Wonder why that God made it so easy for most children. I don't think it can be said today like it could be said in days gone by, that most all children knew John 3:16. I remember as a little tow-headed boy. We didn't go regularly, but we went to Foster Falls Methodist Church. And I was a boy. And there was a lady there by the name of Ms. Rose. She was a postmaster there in that big city. I think it probably was 75 people total, but anyway, she was a postmaster. And she taught Sunday school there at the Methodist Church. And I remember her talking about, and she'd always take the offering. And I remember Ms. Rose saying so many times, she'd say, boys and girls, you can't outgive God. Didn't mean a thing to me then. I didn't even forgot about it, like most people do. You know, just another Sunday school lesson. But I wonder why it is I remember that today. Wonder why. God blesses in such unique ways when we just, to use a military word, just report for duty and do your best. Do your best. I don't believe in the whole 4 years, 9 months that I was in the Air Force, I don't believe I ever did any dead beating and not doing the best I could do because I said one day, I do, when I received the oath. You remember one day when Christ came to live in your heart and you through tears and you were sincere and you meant it and you told God you'd serve him the rest of your days. You'd live for him. You'd do what he wanted you to do. Is that happening today? Is that happening today? See, the ideal thing is that as we live for the Lord, we grow. God makes us more wise. He teaches us about himself. And if we'll put him first, what he'll do if we do that. You know, it can go for some time, and even he's blessing us even then, but we don't see it as vivid as we do as we grow when we keep doing what God says. And down yonder, you look back here, and you see how God was blessing, even though you didn't really realize it that much. Serving the Lord is a wonderful thing. Wonderful. Man's greatest joy is the realization that it's possible for him to obtain the destiny which God has set before him. And that destiny is the path of righteousness. And we serve the Lord. And the clock ticks and the days go by. And one day you look in the mirror and you say, boy, you know, it's been a long time. I used to not look like this. There starts to be some wrinkles. And you know, the greatest joy you can have, and you can thank God for those features and those wrinkles, if you've put him first and he's blessed you with long life. Some he doesn't bless with long life, and that's between that person and God. That person and God knows all about that. So what a joy. What a joy. To serve the Lord, live for God as the days go by, putting him first. And I promise you this, you'll not keep him first helter-skelter. It won't just happen. It will happen because you purposefully put him first. It don't just happen. Because this flesh don't cotton to that. And when you don't make sure this flesh is under control, one day, and you're not doing what you should, it'll start to control you and leave God out. Oh, it will. It'll happen. It is in and through giving, let's don't lose sight of that, that man can become godlike. As a result, giving becomes a joy and never a burden. Your giving should never be a burden. You should not fuss and complain while you're making out your check. Boy, I just think what I could do with this if I wasn't giving it all to the church. You're not really, in a sense, giving it to the church. You're giving it to God. Keep that in mind. You're doing that. And just keep in mind this verse. If you love me. Now just think about that phrase, if you love me. That little teeny two-letter word, if you love me, keep my commandments. Thing is, if you love him like you should, keeping his commandments is no problem. It's a lack of love that'll cause you to not keep those commandments that he's given us. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful there in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now, just a few more things here and we're going. But to ignore a companion, as we compare, as we illustrate here, to ignore a companion and to act as if he or she were not there, or to quarrel with him or her, to have him to impose himself on you, would destroy the joy of life's journey. If this is true with an earthly friend, how much more is it true with God? No, the Lord's not visible with the naked eye. But still, he walks with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is one thing that I'm so afraid that the majority of Christians in this today's world have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. Let me say it again. He is a person. Don't look at me strange like that. Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. But he's a person. Now, the reason a lot of people are ignorant of that fact is because they're not living in such a way as to get to know him. The Holy Spirit will cause you to just keep old animosity and sourness and disgruntledness and all that kind of thing out of your life. No, I know we're human. I know we're going to fail, but we ask him to forgive us, and he will, and we get more familiar with him. And as you read the Word of God, it's him speaking to you. You've never heard him speak audibly, neither have I, and neither has anyone. Here's the way the Holy Spirit speaks to me and you. From Genesis to Revelation. That book's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yes, he did use human penmanship to put it down, but it's the Holy Spirit that's the author. It's impossible. I'm going to quit with this. I put a big red asterisk right here beside of this. By the way, I know it's really interesting, and you need to know this, but I prepared these notes on my old Remington manual typewriter 100 years ago. But they're still true. That's what I learned type on, a manual typewriter. And then one day I sat down before an IBM Electric. Mercy, it's like getting out of a Model A and getting in a Rolls Royce. It's impossible for one to ignore the Holy Spirit's presence and his companionship, hear me, without destroying the joy and pleasure of life's journey. Let me repeat that. It's impossible for one to ignore the Holy Spirit's presence and companionship without destroying the joy and pleasure of life's journey. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I've never policed people's lives, but I've watched that happen. That's one of the saddest scenes I have witnessed over all these years in the ministry, is watch people, and a lot of times it's really, really gradually, slowly, but they get away from God. And the workings of the Holy Spirit become dormant in that person's life. Not good. Not good. We're going to walk with God. We've got to apply ourselves to love him and keep his commandments.